live from our living room, it's From Long Distance to Marriage with Andrea and Rich. We're a once long-distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and made it through to marriage.
We talk long-distance, marriage, and relationships. Hi, and welcome to episode 2 of From Long Distance to Marriage. We hope you all enjoyed listening to episode 1, where we recapped on our story and went into the detail of what long-distance life was like for us. If you haven't listened to it yet, we'd love to recommend that you do. In today's episode, we're going to be looking at the benefits of long-distance relationships. And this is important to us because we keep seeing on the online community that people love to talk about the negatives, the downsides, the never seeing each other. And actually, we think that there are some things that we've really noticed have been helpful over the years.
Hey, babe.
Hey.
How was your day?
Fantastic.
I feel like I've not talked to you at all
today. I know, we haven't spoken today.
It's nice to talk to you and sit down with you. So yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there when you said that all you hear is kind of the bad stuff about long-distance relationships. I think long-distance relationships really get a bad reputation, which I can understand because it's really, really freaking hard.
I mean, no one wants to stay in a long-distance relationship, but I think that for anyone... So we're active on Twitter and Instagram and Reddit, and we're active in a lot of the conversations that people have there.
Yeah.
There's no denying the negativity or the downsides, rather, of long-distance relationships, and no one really wants to stay in one.
No, they're not. I don't think long-term they're sustainable. I think a few years can do it, or off and on throughout the course of a relationship. It's something that... maybe necessary at times. I know even some...
Yeah, and there's no getting away from it. And I think... But the number one thing that we want to clarify, I think, is that for people who may be considering getting into a long-distance relationship, if you start poking around the internet or talking to people sort of in your real-life social circle, you're not going to hear
much
the potential
good.
Upside yeah. of a long-distance relationship.
And actually, I wouldn't have our story any other way. The way we went through it.
No, and I think to kick this episode off, we should go straight into what we think is the main benefit. And I think we both agree that is just the communication. So
the good...
Everyone who's in a long-distance relationship knows that you just spend all your time talking to one another. You don't... Okay, technology's made it easier to look at each other through a camera, but you're not looking at each other face-to-face. You're not able to hold hands. People aren't having... They're not meeting through hooking up in a club. It's completely communication-based, which I think a lot of relationships that come together in real life aren't always that way.
But not all long-distance relationships come from online. They might have met in a club on holiday in some other country kind of thing. So
that's true, but I think the origins of it are there's more inconsequential because... while you're apart and you're talking and you have to talk and communicate. You can't yeah. ignore each other and watch TV or just grunt in response to something or can you
are
do
you describing
this?
Yourself?
Maybe a little bit. But you have to be present. You have yeah. to communicate. And it doesn't matter whether you met online or if you met in a club. While you're apart and you've got no choice but to be apart, every contact is important, whether that's people writing letters, I'm thinking people who may be overseas with the military, they may not be able to get onto Skype and FaceTime and emails. There may be letters and pictures. And even if you are talking online, it may be nice to have... I mean, we've got letters that we've kept and they're a bit more special than just reading through old emails because it's oh, something yeah. physical. And but, we mentioned that in the last episode, how I sent you the bracelet and the postcard.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of two-sided because... if you're going to be in a long-distance relationship, you have no choice but to communicate constantly and on a level that you don't have to do when you're in a face-to-face relationship.
Yeah, because in a lot of ways, it's the only way you can make effort.
There just wouldn't be a relationship if there was no source of communication, really, would there?
No.
And you have no choice but to be good at it?
Yeah.
I mean, was that something that you struggled with, do you think, the communication aspect when we were apart?
After we'd met?
Either, before, after?
I mean, as time went on, it got easier for us to communicate, but obviously the time difference was the hardest part. But yeah, it was hard. And the funny thing about it is before you met, or before you meet, it feels a bit easier because it's all you know. And then once we met and we spent all that time together, we had a month of being inseparable, and we went out places, we were in the car, you were in my house, you were in my bed. So then when you've gone, there's a loneliness that there wasn't before, and then you're back to talking, being long distance again. So it's almost harder that time around.
The communication aspect specifically, do you mean?
It just adds to the strain. Way that, yeah.
I don't think I ever felt like, and maybe that this is just me, I think as a person, I think I'm an exceptionally strong communicator. I think
in what way?
In terms of that, like, I'm not afraid to say how I'm feeling. I'm not afraid to ask for what I need. And I think that's a really important aspect of being in a long-distance relationship, is you can't...
I think that's important for any relationship.
Yeah, it is. But I think even more so in long distance because, you know, for instance, I'm not as insecure as I was, I don't think, when we were apart and, you know, going through long-distance stuff. But I think as a rule, I am an insecure person in a relationship, or the more insecure person. And if that's the role you play, or that's, you know, a trait that you have... And you need reassurance. You don't, when you're not face to face, you don't have the reassurance of, you know, the physical comfort or sex or affection or whatever. You rely on just the words.
Well, and I think that's important because one of the things that we got quite good at was when we were talking through FaceTime or webcam, because FaceTime didn't exist, was we were able to pick up on the visual cues. So I was able to see things like when you're scratching one thumb against the other thumb, that you're normally quite anxious about something.
The weird thing with that, actually, is that you'll see me doing that before I even know something's bothering me. So you really do end up with, I guess it's coming from like FaceTime or Skype. I mean, there does need to be some form of visual communication for that to work. But yeah, you do pick up on each other's tells. I guess that's a poker term. Is that right? Tells?
I'm not a big poker person.
I mean, neither am I, but I like Maverick. But yeah, the endless hours you spend on FaceTime or Skype, we did Skype. You really do.
Well, we did MSN originally.
Oh yeah, it's gone back.
People don't even know what MSN is anymore. Well, it became Skype.
Smoothing over your muscles.
But that's the other point, actually, is that when you're having those conversations on webcam, Skype, FaceTime, whatever it is, I'd say 90% plus of the time you're actually looking at that person. Whereas if you're in a face-to-face relationship, how much of the time are you actually sitting next to that person looking at the TV? Or you're physically together, but you're doing separate things. Like, we like to read, but we'll be reading separate things. One of us will be in a different room. Yeah, so the life is present together, but your activities are different.
Realistically, I think a Skype date is the equivalent of, like, being out at a restaurant. You're looking at each other, you're talking to each other.
Yeah.
You are really engaged and absorbed.
And when your whole relationship is that, you start to pick up on these little subtleties on how, in your case, you scratch your fingers together, or people might, their facial expressions will change when they're feeling upset.
You can tell from my facial expressions as well.
Yeah, and I remember we had conversations on webcam where you hadn't told me something's bothering you, and I kept telling you to tell me, and you sort of didn't really believe that I could tell that something's bothering you, but I could.
Yeah, I found that a little bit alarming. Not in a bad way alarming, but I guess it made me feel vulnerable in how easily you could tell something was up. And usually it was something to do with us, you know. I was having a hard time with the distance. Or
just had a bad day. Yeah. But this is probably, for people who aren't in a long-distance relationship, I think it's a good tip to, one, acknowledge that you and your partner will be giving off these cues about how they're feeling, and to ask yourself, could you spot them, and
make a habit to observe each other, maybe.
Yeah, if you can't spot them, are you paying enough attention? Because this cycles back around to the benefit of long distance relationships, that when this is the foundation of it and you are looking at each other, not both looking at the same something else, I think it helps build a really strong foundation for the relationship, and in terms of just understanding each other as people, which is totally possible, obviously, when you're not in a long-distance relationship, but it may be one of those things that you just have to put a bit more conscious effort into.
You have to put more conscious effort
into. Like in the Karate Kid, with the whole wax on, wax off thing, and you had that subconscious development. That's what it's like in a long-distance relationship.
Yes, grasshopper.
Everyone's going to get that reference.
Yes, grasshopper. Yeah, I think especially now when you're not with technology, you're not always as engaged. Like, you know, you're looking at your phone if you're out on a date. Obviously, if it's the first few dates and you've met kind of a normal face-to-face capacity, you're not going to be doing that. But after a while, I mean, we do it. I mean, we're out to dinner, we chat a bit, and then one of us gets on our phone. I just think that, like,
the way... Oh, yeah, and you see it all the time.
Yeah, and the way society is, I think that we're constantly distracted from each other. There's so many opportunities to be, you know, absorbed in something else. You know, something else could be as little as YouTube videos or whatever. But I think that kind of leads us into the next thing we wanted to talk about, which is not taking things for granted. I think all relationships are a bit guilty of that. But when you've had to fight and struggle and deal with the pain of being long distance, I really do think that, like, for us, I can't speak obviously for everyone that's closed the distance, but I think we're a little bit better at calling ourselves on that kind of behavior, or sorry, calling ourselves out on that kind of behavior.
Yeah, I think it's something that, I mean, so we've just celebrated our 7th wedding anniversary. So as time goes on, you know, life does get more routine than it maybe used to. So it's like you said, we have to call each other out on it and be deliberate. But,
well, not just each other, ourselves. We have to call our, you know, I think,
yeah,
I certainly start to notice it in myself. I think you, as more so probably as we've been together longer and I've expressed to you over the years, oh, you know, I feel like you're taking maybe this for granted. You're getting better at spotting it in yourself too. And I'll notice when you're kind of, you know, mustering up extra effort or reaching out to me a little bit more, or just,
yeah,
showing appreciation. And also, I think you kind of have a bit more of a battle with the kind of taking things for granted, because I did make the move for you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, the person who doesn't move, your life doesn't change as much.
Well, it just gets better.
Yeah, it just gets better. So, I mean, that's something that I think everyone needs to really be aware of if they're thinking of making the move, or one of you's going to be making the move. The person that's not moving, maybe just try and pay attention to actually what the other person's doing for you.
I feel like even if we haven't been a long distance couple in, what, 8 years? Early 2010? More than 8 years. 2011? I don't know. Long time. But I still feel like it's such a big part of
You have to fight so hard and work so hard for it that's not easily forgotten. It's not just a case of, oh, I've moved 10 minutes down the road, or it's not like you can see each other every week or every day, even every month for dates. You know, we didn't see each other for years to begin with, and then we did meet, there was sort of a second half of a year that we didn't see each other for. And there are people that we've spoken to online who have been physically in a long-distance relationship for years on end. It's hard work.
Yeah,
and even the easy ones are hard work, and it's a battle to get there. So I think when you do, if you're lucky enough to close the distance, you don't easily forget what you've been through together.
No, I think it stays with you, and I feel like it is, you know, a vital part of our genetic makeup as a couple that we went through that, and I think it has really shaped our relationship now. And I think even...
Well, if it makes you strong, doesn't it? Because if distance can't separate you, then...
Can.
Someone has to monumentally fuck up that relationship for things to go wrong.
Yeah, or you just have to decide, well, you know, I guess it just depends on case by case. But yeah, I think that we're human. Any couple, you're going to struggle with sometimes taking each other or aspects of the relationship for granted. But there is something about going through the struggles and the pain and the loneliness and the longing of a long-distance relationship, that when I get to come home to you every day, when I get to spend my weekends with you, and when my reality is now that I'm, you know, your wife, you don't take that lightly. And I mean, how often, I mean, even still, not daily, not weekly, probably not even monthly, but regularly, we say to each other, like, I can't believe we're actually married. We actually made it.
Oh, yeah, you're reflecting. But it's funny how quickly we can revert back to that long distance mentality. A couple of times you've gone back home to America and I've stayed here. So it's been probably a couple of weeks at a time when we're apart. And I think also what affects that is that you've gone back to where you were in Europe. We've literally gone back to...
Yeah, it's not straight back into
even
the
though
it
we
was.
Live together every day, we're together. I mean, we literally, other than the night before I went in, we've never really spent a night apart.
Yeah.
Once or twice. So for you to go away for 2 weeks to go back home, our mindset's very much... You're in America, I'm in England, back there. And it doesn't matter how long we've been married, that doesn't go away.
That's interesting, though, because I think for you, I mean, we talked in episode one about how, you know, when you went off to uni and I was in my normal place and I was in, you know, you had left me. I think you've never really been in a situation where I've left you, apart from when, like, I came here and went back home. But it kind of puts you into, it's like a role reversal. I'm going home. I'm excited to be there. It's something, well, not new.
Yeah,
home
is now exciting.
Home is now not my norm, you know, but, and then you're sit here left. You're kind of the one, not pining, but you do pine a little bit.
Well, especially in our house now, because when you came to visit, that was already my home. And then you came to visit and you would know that this is a house we've got together and we moved into it. So I've never been here without you, and then you just came into it. So for you not to be here, it's like having the front door missing. Like, it doesn't...
You say quite often to me that I am this home in so many words. You know, the decoration, the cooking.
If anyone goes on our website and sees the autumn date ideas, there's that... The picture we've got on there is of our living room.
Mm-hmm.
So the decorations, everyone can see that picture. You did that. I would never think to do.
Well, you're a boy.
But it's also an English thing. We don't really decorate for autumn.
But thank so God, it's getting to be a bigger deal.
It's getting a big deal. But you brought that over here. So, yeah, I can walk around the house and I see touches ranging from subtle to not so subtle of things that you've done. So, yeah, when you're not here, you know, you've made the house the home. So if you're not to be here, everything about it feels very unnatural.
But I actually think that when you've been apart for a long time and you've been doing long distance and then you've been together for an extended period of time, like we have, I think it's actually really healthy to have that bit of distance, go on holiday with friends, because it almost resets things, puts you back into that, oh my God, this is what it was like to go to bed without you. This is what it was like to not wake up with
you. Yeah, and I think that is, I would call that another benefit of it, because for the relationships you have where it's not long distance, someone going away from that, yeah, okay, you can have all the same emotional issues with it that we've just described, but it doesn't reset your mindset to be in, oh, I remember this is horrible.
Yeah, it still makes you miss the person or whatever, yeah, but it doesn't take you back to a time when
you
had to fight
up, but
for it.
In the early days of the long-distance relationship, or the time you're apart in the long-distance relationship, you're building this real sort of palpable anticipation of being together. So then when that person goes away again, even if it's for not very long, I find all that memory comes back.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you're not in a long distance relationship, you miss that person, but you only miss that person. You haven't, your body's not remembering all that build up and that excitement. I can't wait to meet that person.
Well, just
and years.
That ache.
Just wanting to meet them because you've already met them. They've gone away for a little while and you missed them. But I just think the feelings are two very different things. I think that's something that people in long-distance relationships, whether they hadn't met and they spent a long time before they met, or you met in person and then someone went away. If you had a long-distance relationship for any length of time, I think that's a positive emotion.
Yeah, I totally agree. And something else about, I think another benefit that kind of leads into that build-up you mentioned, like there is a massive build-up on the physical side of it because you're aching and you're waiting for so long, but you can't do anything about it. So I think that there's less distraction on the physical side, which forces you to find other ways to enjoy each other and get to know each other.
But it also gives you something, like it's almost like poetic, like that romantic poetic of you wonder, how soft is that person's skin? What do you smell like?
Mm.
You have no idea. And when you meet someone in a club, say, or you bump into someone in real life, you know all that immediately. And you probably don't even acknowledge that you now have that information.
It's a mystery to it.
You shake someone's hand every day and you don't think, I imagine most people don't, you don't register what that person's hand, skin feels like. You don't really register what someone smells like most of the time, unless it really stands out. So to be having not met and to be attracted to each other, you start to wonder all the things that you don't know.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of time to, I think because you want to be, you know, connected with that person so badly in a physical way. You almost have to connect the dots and make up your own.
Well, and everyone's going to remember for everyone listening who has met or permanently close to this, everyone's going to know that feeling of when you smell someone's clothes. So in our case, when we met and then you went back again, just having something to smell was, you know.
Yeah, because like,
and that's something that we couldn't have had before. You can't, well, okay, you could send someone an item of clothing, but it doesn't smell as strong as physically what you smell like.
Yeah, because I remember you sent me a t-shirt, a South Park t-shirt, before we met, like when we were leading up to when we were meaning to meet the first time.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I know it just smelled like the laundry detergent that your mom uses.
Right.
But I associate, oh, this is, it's so fresh, it's so clean, this is what he smells like. And I loved it. And then fast forward years later when we did meet and I stayed with you for a month. So obviously I got to be around those smells, and that's when I realized, oh, these clothes are the way the laundry detergent smells. But then because I stayed there for so long, all my clothes got washed in that detergent. So when I came home, I refused to unpack that suitcase. I barely even wanted to open it because all my clothes smelled like what I associated you and your home and that happy place. But you're right. I think there's a lot of senses that are lacking when you haven't physically been with or met someone. So you do have to, you long for it, and you kind of almost make up your own interpretation of it.
Well, I think it's like how they say when you lose one sense, the others get heightened. So, you know, blind people have a better sense of smell or hearing. And if you can't hear things, your other senses get heightened. I think it's the same principle that, like you said, you fill in the blanks, or you're aware of what you're lacking. So when you think, I don't know what you smell like, I don't know what you feel like, I don't know how tightly do you hug people, and you start to wonder that.
I vividly remember wanting to know, like, what it would feel like, you know, for us to be sleeping and snuggling and your breath on my cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Now it annoys me because I can't fall asleep if you're breathing on my face. But there's something I'm taking for granted, obviously. But no, I just remember that was something that I associated with, like, safety, and I wanted to know. But I just think that I think you're agonizing and you want to have sex with this person if you're physically attracted to them. You know it from pictures if you're physically attracted to someone, but you can't do anything about that. So, like I said, you have to find other ways to enjoy each other. So whether that's, well, mainly it's talking and communicating, isn't it? But
yeah, and I think the point we're making with this is that all of this, everything we're saying, these are the points that people will talk about online as being the hard parts, and they are hard parts. But as a couple who managed to close distance and looking back on it, we can see that, yes, they were difficult at the time, but actually
they're really
important building blocks to it. So that doesn't necessarily make it easier, but maybe it's helpful to just think, okay, this sucks, but this is going to pay off.
Yeah,
and if I was to leave this relationship and go and find someone who lives more local to me, that will be easier in some ways. But I think there are really important things that you get from these challenges.
Yeah, oh God, yeah. And no matter what challenge you have in life, whether it's relationship related or not, it makes you better, it makes you stronger, it makes you smarter. You know, you learn from these things, and it just makes everything a bit better when you finally are together. But I do really think that there is something to not being able to be physical, sexual with each other. You just, but yet you still want to spend as much time together as you would if you were in a sexual face-to-face relationship with someone. So you fill the time elsewhere and you just really get to know each other and understand each other and stay up all hours of all time zones.
Especially the irony, to be completely generalizing about the gender stereotypes, really, you know, that whole thing that women want men to talk to them and to ask them questions and to be more emotional, and men might want to be more physical. as you said, when you're long distance and you can't be physical and you can't have sex and you can't do this, that, and the other, both parties either have to step up to it, the emotional side of it, or it's not going to work. So yeah. I imagine for women maybe in particular, that's something that is harder to find in a not long distance relationship.
Yeah.
A close distance relationship.
A no distance relationship. Yeah. I know that I personally, again, I kind of said earlier that I can be a bit insecure or need a lot of reassurance. I think the word is the phrase is emotionally high maintenance.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
But I think that a good long distance relationship where the counterpart is putting in that attention and reassurance and all the things that you were just talking about can only be a positive for a woman. Because you were very dreamy and poetic, and you just said the most wonderful things, and your emails made my heart flutter, and those were the things I wanted. Obviously I wanted the physical side too, but at that time I wanted to build that foundation with someone, and you were giving me that. And I think that's probably something that any girl who's gonna say, well, this is what I need, should get from that.
Yeah, and I think basically you both have to be attentive, but
yeah,
well, like for you in particular, because I have been generalized about the genders, how did our long distance relationship compare or differ to the relationships you had with people who were nearby?
Local relationships. I think for me, obviously it was harder and it was a lot more of a challenge.
What was more of a challenge?
The whole distance aspect of it.
Right.
Not like that was the only challenge, really. Everything else came really naturally to us. But I think for me, I was completely consumed by it. Because I think, like you said, there's a mystery to it. There was a romance to it. You know, I knew that it was this whole kind of star-crossed lover thing. But I think that you filled emotional holes that probably the face-to-face relationships I had didn't.
So what were they like that, what were they like if they weren't filling those emotional holes?
Well, I think they weren't bad, like they weren't bad boyfriends, but I think it wasn't something that needed to, oh God, how am I trying to phrase this? So there was touch, there was smiles, there was affection that filled those holes. So it almost kind of glazes over the emotional need, if that makes sense. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to meet the same need or meet a similar need. For me, verbal is very important, but when you're face to face, you don't need so much of that verbal, this is how I feel, because you can show it physically. You can do it in gestures. You can do it in this and that. So I just think that there was a lot more of that unsaid, things are good kind of thing, or this is how I feel unsaid, I'm holding your hand, I'm taking you out, whatever, which was great. But what I needed as a person was the poetry, and you delivered on that. I mean, you're an excellent writer, but I mean, I don't think it was anything really to do, it was like you were just playing it up. You just were able to meet those needs because you were naturally the kind of person that could communicate well. And because we were in that long distance setting, that's all you could do. So you really excelled at it.
Hmm. But I think for me that I think it all ties back into this thing of you when you have someone that's long distance and you're aware that they're not present in your life as much as you want them to be. So I think it makes you more aware that someone wanting to spend their life with you is a huge privilege. Like it's an honor that someone that you mean that much to someone, they want to do that.
Yeah.
Whether or not that in our case or in your case, moving 5,000 miles, you don't have to do that. It's just, even if you literally meet someone 5 minutes away, it's still a privilege to mean that much to someone. But
more so if they move 5,000 miles away.
Maybe, but I think that it's that as a that concept is more obvious when it's long distance.
Yes.
Because if you bump into someone you meet in the pub and whatever, and it's just that person's immediately there. Your life has just changed. You're not planning for your life to change. Whereas when it's long distance, you are planning for your life to change. You're making all those arrangements.
And even before the big change, you know, when you're still long distance, you maybe not even, maybe closing the distance isn't even an option yet or looking like an option yet. It's choosing, like you said, choosing to be that, you know, be in that person's life and spend that, you spend your life with that person. It's canceling plans with friends so you can stay home and talk to that person. It's dropping everything because you want to call that person.
But the thing, like, yeah, so on the calling, the thing that I remember, so when you meet someone in real life, you immediately hear their voice. You hear people's voices all the time. You don't register it. That's just what they sound like. And that's fine. But we started talking through written communication. So we started talking on a forum, and then we moved on to instant messenger and email. We didn't know what our voices were or what the other one's voices were for a long time. So when we had finally arranged less of a phone call, I was really nervous to have that phone call.
You said my name wrong.
I said your name wrong because, like, you spelled it like a fucking idiot.
How dare you? My name is beautiful.
It is beautiful when no one knows how to say it. This is a good point. I said your name wrong for years.
To yourself?
Well, yeah. And everyone I was talking to
you about. How did you say it?
Andrea. The same way everyone says it.
Nobody does that.
If you've read her name and haven't understood it, it is pronounced Andrea. But it's spelled Irish.
Don't knock it. My daddy gave it to me.
But the point is that, yeah, I said your name wrong, but when we arranged the phone call, there was all that sort of butterflies and anticipation.
Oh, yeah.
What if you don't like my voice?
So we hadn't had, I guess our webcams must not have had microphones then, because, yeah, we didn't hear each other's voices until we actually talked. I vividly remember that first phone call.
Yeah. And then we had the same experience again where, for people who've listened to episode one and know that we had that period of time where we weren't in a relationship, we didn't talk for a long time. When we picked up again and we agreed to have a phone call, I had all that sensation again.
Yeah, oh God, yeah. And I just, that was so dreamy.
But you don't get that if you're in a regular relationship.
No.
Because you haven't had the build up to that. You just immediately start talking.
Yeah, you're right. The little things really mean so much more. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I think in a normal relationship, when you meet, you know, in a normal place through work, through friends, you love the person's voice, you know, whatever. I love the sound of his, but you don't have that build up and that mystery and excitement around what's he going to sound like, and is his accent going to be absolutely? Well, also,
how many voices you hear in real life that I don't think voices regularly sweep on off their feet, but voices do regularly amuse you or think that person's got a weird voice. If you already know someone and you already feel attracted to someone and you've not heard their voice, that might be something that just doesn't matter as much.
You mean they've got a weird voice?
You've got a weird voice, but you've actually, we've been talking for 6 months and they really make me laugh and I think they're cute.
So you don't even notice the funny.
You may not even notice it.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that actually. But I think on the build up, we have to lead into the next aspect, which is sex.
I like sex.
I like sex.
We're good at sex.
Very good at sex. We're good at the sexing.
Yeah.
Sexy time. People don't want to know that. So sorry. But I do think that you got me all funny now. I'm all shy.
You brought it up.
Well, we have to talk about it. It's important. But so there is all that build up. Let's talk about the first time.
Well, before that, I think
not our first time.
No, in general. But like, we were young when we started. We were off that age where, you know, and sex is always important. But I think if you're in your
were a 19-year-old boy who had or hadn't done it at that age.
But we started talking even before that. We were like 17 and we started talking.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the people that we see on Instagram, they're younger and not necessarily younger than 17, but they're, you know, they're in their teens. Like, you're kind of missing out on a big thing by doing that.
But by doing a long distance route, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's another aspect with a lot of mystery. And what's this person going to be like to be with? There's a lot of nerves surrounding that.
Yeah, what if they're disappointment?
Or what if I disappoint them? You know, there is a lot around that. Luckily, we didn't have to. Well, I think we did worry about it. But once we met, we realized we didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, because sex could be a game changer.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not bad at it, I suppose you can learn. But if there's something, if you're not sexually compatible, or there's something you discover doesn't really work out for you when the clothes are off, that could upend the whole thing.
Yeah, and I think we like to say, oh, we're not that shallow, not you and me, we, but just we as people. But it does, it's important. You have to be sexually attracted to someone, which isn't to say that they need to look at the standard, you know, model of beauty, but to you, they need to be attractive, whatever that may mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think, but that being said, it's so easy to see pictures now. And let's face it, if you've been in a long-distance relationship for any length of time, there's going to be some nudes. You're going to know, you know, if you're physically attracted to this person. But I think sexually compatible in terms of what you want and how maybe how you move, your rhythms may not.
Do you think the nudes are important? Because
do I think what?
The nudes are important because...
Well, I think they were for you.
Well, hold on. Because, I mean, like you see all the time, like people say, oh, you know, I got sent this picture, that picture. Because of things like Snapchat and direct messaging that people just, it's so easy and so throwaway to do. It took us years to get there. We were doing things like that. So part of me still feels like there's some sanctity in not doing it because you are...
At least for a long time.
For a long time, because you are removing all that stuff we're talking about, the anticipation, the excitement, and the build-up, and I wonder this, wonder that. If you're removing that from day one, all right, you may not know what everything feels like. You know what it looks like.
Yeah, and it's like you were saying earlier, like maybe leaving it for a while, you were talking about not talking for a long time. Maybe if they do sound funny, that it doesn't bother you. Maybe if you wait a long time to see them naked, maybe those imperfections that would have bothered you before you were head over heels to this person wouldn't yeah. bother you as much then.
But it's important to have mystery because...
We that have all, no mystery.
Like now, no, now we don't. But I mean, that plays into yeah. the whole thing about the build-up. And the, I feel like women in particular have known that for years. You know, women using sexuality of, yeah. of teasing.
Suggestion.
And suggestion. If you just go straight in and go, yep, here are my tits. What's left? You know, obviously there's more left, but that's not the same as refusing to do it or sending a suggestive picture.
Yeah.
Or, so it's obviously, it's, you know, it's enticing to say, yep, here's everything. And especially with how readily available it is to just have video chat now.
Yeah.
That must be really tempting. But, yeah, I don't want to sound like a granddad on it, but part of me feels like there's benefit to
waiting holding off on that. Yeah. But what I'm actually trying to say, or the point that I wanted to get at, was, like, the build-up is so tantalizing. Is that a word?
It is a word.
Am I using it?
I don't know if it's the word.
Titillizing? Is that a word?
Good.
Oh, just like teasing. I don't know. I'm usually really good with words, but I'm
sleepy. There is build up.
Yeah, there is build up and it's teasy. But I think when you do have sex, whether it's for the first time, maybe the first time can be a bit awkward because it can often be no matter what the situation is. But especially when you've been apart for a while and you reunite, that sex is just nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
But again, sex is one of those things that you, I think, would not take for granted. For a long time, yes. You don't take it for granted.
And forgive the pun, but you do have to squeeze it in. You know, like when you're you're together for a limited amount of time, you're going to be doing that a lot more.
Yeah, you're very aware that it's...
It's limited.
It's limited. It's going to run out. But you've got a
sorry,
lot.
Sorry, babe. My sex ran out today.
You're making up for
missed time.
Missed time. So when you meet, it's the that is the culmination of all that, whether it's months or years of, I wonder what their skin feels like. I wonder what their breath feels like. I wonder what they're like. And they're wanting. That all comes to a head at that moment. I said head. That all comes to a culmination. It's like Beavis and Butthead here. And then, yeah, so then you're less likely to take that for granted, whereas, yes, sex is always nice and it's always enjoyable, and if you are doing it with someone who you know in your everyday life, it's still nice and enjoyable, but I feel like at that point that's just sex. Rather than
this connection is
fucking amazing.
The connection with it, too. The emotional connection with sex. I think, you know, sex feels good pretty much no matter what. But when you put a really deep and...
Deep.
this is the worst. Deep connection that, you know, is years, months, whatever into the making without that physical connection. You know, no other sex I've had compares to that.
Part of that's just me.
Yes, because...
Because I'm good at the sex.
Because you're a god at the sex. But no, I think that not... So let's just clarify. We're not saying that a benefit of long distance is lack of sex. We're saying that...
That you appreciate the
power
sex
of the sex
is much better.
And the sex itself is just hubba hubba. Because it's the best. And then,
but what we never did, we never counted how many times we did it. I think anyone who hasn't yet had sex for the first time
should do that.
Count how many.
Should
times.
They get one of those little clicker things like when you're going into?
I don't care how they do it. Have an app. There must be a sex
blocking
app.
An app. I said
not have an app. Not an app. There must be an app or pen and paper. Just I'd love to know how many.
You know, like people in prison and they have like the tick marks on the wall for how long they've been in there.
Or keep condom wrappers. Not the condoms. That's gross. But keep the wrappers.
Well, what if you stop using condoms?
Well. Do something else.
He does. Like, there's an episode of Friends where Ross tells people, like, Rachel and I had sex this many times, and we're like obsessed with Friends. We watch it like almost every evening.
It's on TV every.
It's always on TV, and it's the best thing ever. Every time that episode comes up, I wish we counted how many times, and then we have to sit
and then
there
we guess and we try and work
and
it
estimate.
Out.
Like, well, the first summer we went through this many condoms because we knew how many you bought, and I brought some. And then the next, well, we must have done it this many times a week for this period of time, and then this, and then we just give up. But you really want to know?
I really want to know.
That's a boy thing.
I don't even know what. Like, I can't do anything with that information. Maybe I'd be quite proud of it.
You tell people, like Ross does. I've had sex with her.
I would tell people. Yeah. 3,000 times.
It's not even a trophy anymore. I'm your wife. Like, no one cares.
Yeah, some wives don't put out.
No one cares when married people have sex. Well, I guess they do.
The spouses do.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyways, long distance makes for good sex.
Yeah.
So appreciate that. Because that's important.
Right.
Right, we're going to stop being awkward now. And go to the pithy phrase, which is very true. The absence makes the heart grow fonder.
I want to know how the word pithy crept its way into this podcast.
Because I'm well smart, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Well, that was your idea.
Yeah, I agree with it wholeheartedly.
Well, then elaborate, sir.
I
like how he's.
I mean, I feel like it sums itself up.
like there's nothing left to say here.
You're not together. You want to be together. The end. And the more
it makes you fond.
The more time you're apart, the more you want to be. I mean, okay, there are some people who throw in the towel. I mean, I don't think we ever attempted to throw the towel in.
Only like we talked about when
I mean, you
we were apart
time,
and I was like having a breakdown. I wanted to just because I.
But I mean, generally, there was never like, oh, you know, I can't bother with this. Like, they were like, if you're committed in a long distance relationship, it's because you know. How strong that person, what that person
you
is.
You know that they know,
you
that
know
we
they
know
yeah.
that they don't know.
Exactly. That makes total sense. So, but you know what I mean? That you, if you're committed,
I know.
If you're committed in a long distance relationship, it's because
you're choosing
this,
it.
You're choosing
yeah.
it, but there's a strength of relationship.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, man.
For the people that won't throw the towel in just because we're apart and I want to see my boyfriend and laughing at that.
Yeah, so I mean that takes me kind of into the last thing I wanted to talk. We wanted to talk about was.
So we're done on absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Well, yeah, but you said.
I said it's self-explanatory.
It's something else to say, but I think that going through long distance successfully, if you're trusting the person and you really don't think that there's anything shady going on in terms of catfishing or cheating, you know, it takes a patient and committed person to do this, and that really those are. Two of the most important traits in a partner or a spouse, you know, for down the line. So, if, like you said earlier, you know, if you can make it through this, you know, there's little, very little that's going to break you or really
phase
you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously people can change and people
oh, yeah.
can... So, I don't mean to suggest that if you make it, you're golden.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all else being equal...
You're probably going to divorce me next week.
Yeah, maybe.
Hopefully.
You're eligible for divorce now. I forgot what point I was making.
Sorry, I was being cheeky. Which is to say that you'll make it no matter what.
Yeah, so all else being equal, generally, that you've built your relationship on a really strong foundation, and you've, from day one, you've been up against a really big hurdle.
Yeah.
And you've overcome it. So it just puts you in a really solid place.
I think so too. And I think you can, you know, you've got the sex. You've got...
The sex is good.
You've got the sex. You've got the absence and the fondness.
Which is self-explanatory.
Which is self-explanatory. You've got the not taking things for granted.
Which, yeah, you need to work on that.
Me?
No, people need to work on that. Especially the people that didn't move. If you did the move in, don't do what Andrew would do and say, I moved here for you, you take the bins out. Don't do that.
Well, to be fair, you are a twat sometimes. But so I have
the
to
person
know.
Who didn't move should at least acknowledge that
you
the other
move.
Person's... You didn't do dick, but the other person's...
Wait, okay, you're being mean. You need to act like you really appreciated this.
Not that you didn't do dick. The person that didn't
move. Oh, you didn't do dick. The yeah, I agree with move. That wholeheartedly.
You did. You moved. Yeah, that's a big thing. That you uprooted your whole life. You've left your friends and family in your hometown.
Yeah.
To move to a strange land. And we'll have a future episode on...
England is a strange land.
England is a strange land. It's a wonderful land. But we'll have a future episode on some of those things that you observed in the difficulties you had in moving and the delights you had in moving. But... You noticed some things, didn't you, that were unexpected?
Every damn day.
Every day, yeah.
And then we've got the sex.
Which is good.
We've got the absence and the fondness.
Which is self-explanatory.
I missed one before. The lack of distraction with not having the sex.
What?
Not having the lack of distraction by not having the sex. Yes, why not?
If anyone understands what this means.
No, we talked about how when... This is the best recap of anything ever. When you're not together, you don't have the distraction of only wanting to be sexual because you can't do that. You have to get to know each other and enjoy each other in other ways. We talked about it. I don't know if you were here for it.
I was here, yeah.
So we got the sex. No, I'm not going to do that again. Not taking things for granted. And then, like, really truly knowing each other, because just through the communication that you have to be good at, because you have no other choice. But really, I think what it comes down to is it is so worth it if it's with the right person. That, you know, we see so many people on Instagram and Twitter saying, oh, it's going to be so worth it when we're together. And it really is, but not just because you're finally together and you've closed the distance and you get to come home to each other every day, which is amazing, but also because in the long run, you know, you do have that foundation. I really think that had we met on a normal day, I probably wouldn't have liked you, first of all, because you were a bad boy.
I wasn't a bad person. I don't want people to think I was a bad person.
You were ridiculous. No, not a bad person. You had foul humor that I probably wouldn't have appreciated when I was 17 if I met you.
Yeah, if we had met in person at 17, but maybe that's another good point, that the person you put forward it when you're alone and talking to someone one-to-one, and not who you are necessarily in groups of people.
So you get to lie? That's a benefit?
It's not a lie, but it's just...
Putting your best foot forward.
You put your best foot forward, yeah. Exactly.
But I don't feel like when I met you were a different person.
No, not a different person, but the person... When we were at 17 and we were in school, if I had met you in your school environment surrounded by your friends, I probably wouldn't have liked you very much either.
You would have. I was perfect.
And I doubt that. But going back to what you said about how worth it's going to be... You may not realise it at the time, but you're making memories and all that as well.
Mm.
So, like, it's hard at the time, but we look back and when we were apart and we find funny things.
Oh, yeah.
Or
sweet things,
things happened, or we golf that we used to play all the time.
It's all yellow.
It's all yellow. No one will get that, but we have inside jokes now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're making memories with all of that.
You were worth the wait.
Yeah?
You were worth the wait.
I know. So are you.
Anyways, I think that this was a bit of a late evening ramble session, and it might have got away from us.
Hopefully,
a bit.
People understood what the point.
Yeah, they know that we know that they know.
The fringe is on all the time,
and that sex is good.
And sex is good, and absence grind
fonder
is self-explanatory.
Yeah, but anyway, so do feel free to send in or comment on any of our socials or on the website, any of the benefits that we maybe haven't covered. because by no means are we an extensive, well, we're not a list, but our list is not.
But on the flip side, if there are particular challenges that that you're facing that we haven't mentioned, or you want,
well, we haven't done the challenges episode yet.
We haven't mentioned challenges. If there are challenges you'd like us to add to a challenges episode,
yes,
let us know. We're going to be inviting people on who are in long distance relationships.
You found people
who've closed the gap. We found people. If you want to be those people that come on here to talk with us, then let us know that way as well.
We like to talk.
We love to talk. Yeah.
Almost as much.
But that's the funny thing, isn't it? Until you seek out the community for long distance,
I had no idea.
No. So this is a great way to talk to people who are in long distance relationships, or who have been in long distance relationships and have closed it. And like-minded people meeting other like-minded people. So get in touch if you want to be on here.
And we actually hopefully have a couple who is currently long distance. So I have no idea how we're going to do the logistics of that. Potentially coming on, hopefully in the next few weeks, doing an episode with us. And they sound like our doppelganger couple.
Yeah.
Like too many coincidences.
A lot of coincidences. Similarities. But yeah, so get in touch with us. We've got the website, which is longdistancemarriage.com. You can find us on
Twitter and Instagram at Mr. and Mrs. Distance.
Well,
there's some underscores.
Twitter is Mr. _ Mrs. _ Distance. Instagram is just Mr. and Mrs. Distance as one word.
Is that an underscore?
No, there's no underscore. You're on there every day. You should know that.
I'm looking at other people's.
Yeah. Or you can you can email us at hello@longdistancemarriage.com. And we do read all the emails. We read all the tweets. We read all the Instagram posts.
We do.
Because we've got nothing else to do.
That's a lie.
What's a lie?
That we have nothing else
to do. That's true. We are very busy.
We're very important.
But everyone's important to us, so we make the time to read it.
Yes.
And we will reply.
Yes. So, thank you. I hope you tagged along until the very end. It's been a long day. We've both been at work all day. And our dogs were really distracting us at the beginning, so forgive us if you could tell. Anyways, thanks so much, guys. We look forward to hearing from you next time. See you soon!